Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thanks for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and with me again is Craig Hill. Craig has worked with the Norris Group since the company opened in 1995. Craig works with the real estate investors, helping them access money for their deals, and trusted investors who want to get a very safe yield on their money. Prior to working with the Norris Group, Craig was in the hard money loan business for years before that, and the expertise he brought with him has proved invaluable to the success of our company. Craig, welcome back.
Okay, thanks, Bruce.
We kind of talked about the money side in the last section, and then there's the borrower side. And I know you deal with calls all the time, and you go through the terms of our loan, and let's say there's some callers are just connected to the advertisements of 4%, and when you tell them it's going to be 12.5%, they about have a heart attack because they don't understand that side of the world at all.
Yeah, and that's always a call, though, with somebody that hasn't done it before.
Absolutely.
So usually, in a nice way, whenever I get a situation like that, I try to ask them, well, how did you fund the last deal that you did? And once again, but because you really have to establish that this is a different world.
Yes.
And if somebody's, been a property buyer for a long period of time, that they have a better understanding. And quite frankly, sometimes if you get that person that feels like, they can do that, it might be best for them to pursue a loan at their bank under a non-owner occupied program. And I tell them, you might be able to get it if you have perfect credit and all this. And, if there's just a lot of different ways to handle it, but usually we deal with investors that's what they do for a living, and they have an understanding of what the costs are going to be.
I think that's a real education, is to go ahead and try whatever you're thinking is easier or less expensive, because the lending world is really not, it's not really working very well right now. Major bank, won't use the name, but I'm familiar with the manager, and I have, she talks to me when I go in, and she told me the frustration they have right now. They can't fund owner-occupied loans inside of 75 days.
Wow.
And see, in the investor world, if you don't have speed, you don't find deals.
Yeah, no, they have to be able to close their loans quickly. And I think even more so than that, they have to be able to rely on the fact that the deal will close.
That's a very good point, because people try to say, okay, well, how can I each of these boxes of that's connected to this process, how can I save money? So
right.
They try, okay, well, I'm going to list the house myself, or I'm going to go find my own money source.
Right.
And people that hold seminars about that, you can find your own money. Well, that's not that easy.
No.
It's not that easy to get trusted with money.
No. And really, is it cheaper or not? Because there's always something attached to that.
A no answer when you thought you already had a yes.
Yeah. And one of those, and as you know, we get a lot of those calls, where somebody calls
last minute.
Yeah. They only have 3 or 4 days or less.
And you ask, well, that's
and they need to close
time frame.
It. Yeah. And it's always the case where somebody had told him something and then didn't perform.
Yeah.
And it's so competitive out there now. You do that once, and you can forget about that agent or probably anybody that they know ever giving you another deal.
Yeah, then you have to really seriously look at that. That was the cost of not getting a loan. It exceeded far the cost of getting the loan.
Right.
And it's just, again, it's just not that easy. Watching over the years people go through a process of trust to start from scratch just as a person, it's not a reliable source. And that's, I came, as you know, through the hard money loan business first as a borrower of considerable amount of money.
Yes.
On a regular basis. And I really didn't consider the cost as onerous at all. I just needed access to it.
Yeah, I mean, with reliability comes the ability to grow. I mean, it's the same way with our business as a whole.
Right.
Just like it is for an investor. If an investor has either his own money, limited amount, a couple hundred, not that that's limited to most people, but, you know, maybe they're working with 200 all cash, or they have a friend or a business partner they're relying on, they really are working under those constraints. And once they have access to, say, somebody that might have $1 million, well, then they can start and they can tailor their business knowing that they have access to $1 million. Now, granted, there's a cost to that, but what are the benefits to that? I mean, the benefits are you can maybe up your marketing, you can do so many more things or more houses or different types of projects.
Yeah, it's like trying to be a construction lender without having a lender.
Right.
I mean, you know, a construction guy, you know, you have to have some leverage or you're just going to build 10 homes. That's about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and that's been the same way with our business. I mean, it's always, the borrower side has always grown along with the money side, because the money side is there and the borrowers need the funds. That's what a hard money lender is.
And I forget the year that you and I met, but it came about because I was seeing more opportunities than I could personally handle. I had a fair amount of cash. I had a credit line, and all those were pretty active on free and clear stuff. And,
yes.
And I had a chance to go to these HUD auctions that were really tossing out 50 cents deals, you know, half a dozen times an auction, and then a chance to buy a track of homes at the same number.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I'm looking around going, okay, well, I can't take advantage of this.
Right.
And that was that's how you and I met. When you and I met, interestingly enough, that was not the typical loan for the hard money loan business.
No, I mean, it almost didn't exist. And we've told this story maybe before, but it is interesting enough. I mean, that was probably, what, 92 or so?
92
or 3. Hard money lenders, the rule of thumb was that a house was worth what you paid for it.
Yeah.
That was the bottom line. So if one next door sold for 100 that was fixed up, and then you bought the one exactly a model match right next door for 50, and actually you bought it for less, kind of an exact example. Well, yours was worth 50, so we could lend you 30 or 40 on that one. That was the rule of thumb. And we could lend somebody that had never made a payment 60 grand on the other one.
Yeah.
And as you know, when you first came to me, I had to fight very hard to get those first few deals through.
Yeah.
Because it was just not done that way. Now, in a lot of ways, I think hard money is synonymous with that exact function for investors.
Yeah, but back then it didn't even exist.
Exactly.
And I remember, one of the properties when I bought it at a HUD auction, it was appraised, and that we didn't discuss what I paid for it, interestingly enough, up front.
Right.
And I asked to go ahead and appraise it, and you said, okay, we'll loan X amount of percentage on the value. And then when you told me the value, I said, does it bother you that you're going to be giving me money back more than I paid? And you kind of was, the owner probably mind. And one thing, and I think this is important for borrowers to remember, because the first thing that I thought of was, we really have a unique opportunity here. You probably are dealing with my type of this world for the first time, and I have access to a lot of dough for the first time.
Right.
I want you to know you can rest assured. And so I made 6 payments on those
first
loans.
Exactly.
And I think all of a sudden it dawned on the owner of the company. He's like, okay, we've never had anybody do that before.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And so they either understood that I got it or that I was capable more than they had normally, their client. That was an important transition for the hard money loan industry, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that followed with you going, I wonder if there's more of this type of guy.
Right.
And sure enough, yeah, they were out there.
Yeah, no, I transitioned. I mean, I spent the 3 more years until we got together having all the other loan officers tell me, Craig, when do you think this is going to be over? they never, some of them never transitioned into doing that.
Wow.
And I strictly transitioned into doing only that because I got used to a fax from you or a couple of the other guys that had 3 or 4loans on it.
Exactly.
Thinking, this is pretty efficient.
If anything, your middle name is efficient.
Yes.
How do we get the most to happen in the least effort?
Yes. Yes.
But that makes perfect sense. And, you know, and I always have been surprised because I remember thinking, when 95, 96, 97 went through, and it was sort of the end of the REO world. Remember, we were really thinking, okay, well, where is all these deals going to come from? And they did. You know, they the private party purchasing started, and the construction started, and all of a sudden, and we were busy and even more busy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the one thing. There's always a niche for good borrowers and private money. You know, like you say, if good people are out there doing something and making a profit at it, whether it be buying off of private parties or, as you mentioned, when the time is right, they might buy lots and then do, you know, single construction. It just really, there's always an opportunity. And we've both been surprised with this probably, as you mentioned, for the whole 15 years at how no matter what the real estate market is like, there always is a space for hard money loans.
I absolutely am so convinced of that now that I've had the chance to, you know, go back and rub shoulders with the people that make decisions in the, you know, the normal world and how they view investors. Yeah, I came back with the self-assured going, okay, there always will exist a private loan, a need for a private loan business because we just make decisions that are common sense. And yet their infrastructure prevents that. So if it, let's say we're not afraid of a home that doesn't have a kitchen because we probably dealt with, you know, 1,000 of them and haven't been damaged by any of them because we know a kitchen can reemerge for X amount of dollars.
Exactly.
And, you know, and in the loan process, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is that we retain the money that would, you know, cause a kitchen to show up if the borrower stopped paying. I mean, that's the, we usually retain repair money.
Exactly.
And so you start putting the pieces of that safety together and go, okay, well, I guess we can make this loan. But it does take private money, I think, to fund that quickly and accurately. And that's just, I don't think we're ever going to have a lot of competition from the other side.
Yeah, I just don't either. I mean, I just am amazed at what conventional lending will not do.
Yeah, that there are so many hoops to go through that you just go, okay. You know, and you just, it is amazing because the borrowers that we're loaning to, I mean, have wealth. A lot of them have wealth. They have credit.
Absolutely.
They have all the stuff you think you could walk in and get any amount of loans you want. They can't get loan one.
Well, yeah, just something popped into my mind common sense-wise. I had a call from a borrower not too long ago. I think just rough numbers, he owns four houses free and clear for about $120,000, $140,000 each. He has into them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's his money into them. The bank will not do that because they consider that cash out. Like,
wow.
Okay. Well, would he be a stronger borrower if he leveraged it 100%? You know what I mean? And now they're just, it just boggles my mind some of the calls I get.
Yeah.
So here's somebody with perfect credit, four free and clear houses, and a bank will not do that because they see that as cash out.
Yeah. And somehow that puts him in less of a safe position.
Right.
That he owes 200 grand, let's say, at 50%. And he has 200 grand of liquidity to make sure it gets paid.
Right.
Yeah, that's when you have at the end of the day, that's the decision maker you're competing with. You go, okay, well, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, whereas our response was, how quickly can we get our appraiser out there?
Well, let's go through the process because I know some people are disappointed that there are more hoops than they thought. You know, they attend a seminar and they get told, okay, well, hard money really only looks at one thing. And then they come here and it's just like, you really didn't get told what's really going on.
Yeah, probably. I think several things just because of the nature, more recent history. I think one thing that's very difficult for people to understand, if you're brand new, it's very hard to delegate the whole process and think you're going to have a good result.
Because you don't even know how to protect yourself.
Yeah. In other words, that's the most frustrating thing I see from some of the national seminars and things of that nature is, you know, it's almost like, oh, well, I'm a part of this group or that. And, you know, I'm dealing with my mentor and this and that. And we take a look at the deals and frankly, they're just not deals.
Right.
So the number one thing is we want to make sure people have a deal or we're going to talk them out of it.
Well, and I think that's an important thing for people to know that there are companies that are built that way and there's companies that aren't. So
right.
It has to go through some filters if we're going to make a loan on it, there's probably a very high success rate for you as an investor. And the ones that we have several filters. One, you'll just look at the sheer numbers and say, that's not a deal. But then we also have an appraiser who goes out with a lot of experience in investing and says, you know, the numbers make sense, but this is really a dangerous property for these reasons.
Right, right. Yeah, the filter we have for people that borrow money from us, it's second to none.
And I trust it myself. In other words, I would actually have pause myself. If I had found a deal and Rick Solis went out there and said, you know, you really need to take a second look at this thing, but trust me, I would.
Right, right. And I think... I really do. I think for new people, because everybody's new at one time, but to have that kind of filter is, you almost can't put a value on that.
No.
You really can't. And sometimes we'll get calls even from people that are thinking of buying all cash. And I say, hey, I tell you what, especially if they're new, why don't you call me when you have your numbers? And, if you have something in escrow, not just, you know, an offer, but if you actually have something in escrow that you're thinking about doing, let's just take a quick look at it, because it's very easy to see where somebody can make a mistake.
And, you know, I think people that don't have experience, they don't realize how expensive the journey will be.
Yes.
So there's surprises, there's repairs, you know, all these things start taking away percentages. You're going to list it and 10% disappears there. And all of a sudden this deal at 82 cents on the dollar that seems like it's going to make you a bunch of money actually cost you dough.
Yeah, that's the most common is there certainly is a formula and varies. But certainly if you get over 75 cents of what the house, 75% of what the house is worth in repairs and the purchase price, you're really starting to deal with a very thin margin.
Yeah.
And some people are, I guess stubborn is the right word. So what I'll do is I'll just, as you mentioned, I'll back out everything. I'll say, okay, let's start at 100%. Are you going to sell it yourself or are you going to have a commission?
Mm-hmm.
You might have to pay, you know, because now more and more people are paying incentives, like,
sure,
you know, 2 or 3% of closing costs.
Right.
If you have this and then you have the cost of the loan, pretty soon they can see that we're meeting. In other words, what it's costing me and what I'm selling it for doesn't leave anything in the middle.
Yeah, and you're going on a six-month journey.
Right.
And that's where the experience comes in, too, is you're going to hire a construction crew you've never dealt with. The
right.
odds of that not working out are certainly higher than dealing with one you've dealt with 20 times.
Right.
So everything that's potentially that goes wrong in our business is especially likely to occur to that first-time person.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So really for that individual, having a deal is critical. So that would be, say, step one. You definitely want them to have a deal.
Right.
Then probably the second most frustrating thing for people is they really are told that they don't need to have any money or
right.
very little.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we're looking at it in terms of we want them to have survivability and we want them to have a successful outcome.
Right.
I remember, you know, this goes back years and years and years, but I remember a client that had a house and had made payments like clockwork and all of a sudden stopped making payments and called her and, well, we had this much allocated for this.
Oh.
And it was kind of a surprise. It was like, well, you know, and that was, you know, that was years and years ago. So more and more, I think we've had the philosophy that the really liquid cash is very, very important because it gives them survivability not only to protect us and our investor, but it really protects their down payment, what they put into the property. It gives them the ability to get out of a situation instead of just, say, lose a situation.
Well, you also brought up it's really a benefit for them to make a monthly payment, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing that all along I've been asked, well, is it, do you, you know, can we just include the payments in the loan or do something like that? And I've always, I learned years ago because I made a business transaction that wasn't maybe the wisest, but I borrowed money on my baseball cards to do something with it that was going to make me a millionaire, as we talked about in the last segment. And I had to make payments once the money was long gone. I made payments on that every month, and it was a lesson every time I wrote that check to do it again.
That's a good point.
And in the same way, if you're making a payment on a property, you realize, you know what? This is costing me money.
Right. It's vacant.
Yeah. I need to do something. I can't just wait just because you don't have payments for 6 months, it doesn't mean that it's going to solve itself.
Right.
So
but
I think
it seems like a less of a priority.
It really does. Or maybe they have the tendency to like get two or three because right. they're not thinking about making payments. We're always, kind of tweaking the loan business, trying to make it better. And I know at one time we did some, once again, we don't do it anymore, but we did some seconds for people so they could have not quite as much in and, mm-hmm. and do a few more loans. And what we realized is it's not everybody has the discipline to do that.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that we do also, besides really looking at the deals, we try to help people be disciplined. So they have successful outcomes because it don't try to do three if your limit is really should be one. Stick with the one because you're going to hopefully have a successful result on that one.
I think one of my favorite statements for you to make is when you've come into my office and said, lost another loan, made another client for life. And in other words, you've told them the truth that they needed to hear to where they actually go, wow, I really have confidence now that I have a backup system that I can trust, that I'm not going to get hurt by this guy.
Yeah, I would say there's almost as many people out there that would thank us for not doing deals or really talking them out of a deal or explaining how it works mm-hmm. as many as clients that have done deals. And that is, once again, it's very satisfying because what I tell people is when I'm talking to them, I go, I can tell by your voice that you're a little disappointed right now. And I say, you know what? I can deal with that. Because mm-hmm. being a little disappointed right now with me telling you no or here's the real deal mm-hmm. is much better than 3 weeks from now you having a deal that you're going to lose a deposit or 9 months from now you have a deal that you lost 20 grand. That's going to be a lot more disappointed.
Yeah.
So our philosophy has always been trying to deal with, let's just deal with it as it comes. And people usually are very appreciative of the fact that we try to give them good advice. I mean, that's what we do.
One of the things I noticed on those home shows is that it was frustrating because some of the reality was missing in those, in those shows. So you get shown this property in the beginning and it's got a cracked foundation. It's all that. And you got this is the big opportunity with these two neophyte investors.
Right.
And then 4 months into it, they're, almost going to have a divorce. And the realtor comes back in and he says, well, you didn't put up this. And it's like, okay, from going from A to B is an expensive process. And
right.
I guess I'm bringing that up because there are deals that don't fit the level of experience of certain buyers.
Yeah, that's a great point. And what I tell people like that, I just have so many one-liners, I guess. I've been talking to them for so long. But I tell people like that, when they get their first deal, if that is what happens, I say, you did not find that deal. It found you.
Yes. And it went through a filter of a few people that went.
Nah. Yeah, you have hundreds of people that passed on that are experienced investors. And the newer people, they need to stick with what they know and what is the simplest process because you have to leave the other stuff for other people. And conversely, in our group of clients, we have a lot of clients. We're working on one now where I think it's an Orange County property where they're buying it for $220 or something, and they're going to put about $125,000 into it. You know what? That's a very experienced investor. But it's also a niche because not a lot of people are going to be able to accomplish what he's going to accomplish. So you have two sides of the scale.
Right.
One that can tackle that kind of stuff, and then the newer group, they need to stay away from that. And most often, those are the deals that the new people find are ones that other people passed on.
That's right. Well, Craig, we're about out of time. I do want to mention our website, www.thenorrisgroup.com. And there you can find a lot of information about trust deed investing and also loan programs. We didn't talk about points and fees and so forth, but you'll find all the information there. We've even recorded some of these interviews before. Well, Craig, thanks for joining us. Craig Hill from the Norris Group. You can give us a call if you're interested in either side of that at 951-780-5856.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.